Stephen, any particularly fascinating cases of drop-ins that you can talk about?
Yes, there's one really, really good one. It's quite well known. It's the it's from Iceland. It's often called the case of Runki's leg. You got a minute for me to spell this out?
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you first who the main character is, the medium. It was a guy named Hafstein Bjornsson. He lived from 1914 to 1977. He's very famous. He's probably Iceland's greatest mental medium. And one of the reasons he was so famous is that he was particularly good at giving lots of very precise and accurate details about past people and events and so on. And he was never caught cheating. He didn't do this for a living. He did earn money as a medium, but he had a day job working for a radio station in Reykjavik. And so the case in question began in the late 1930s. There was a seance group in Reykjavik, and they were holding a seance, and this drop-in appeared. And they said, "What's your name?" And the drop-in, now, oh, I should mention, Hafstein was a trance medium, so he appeared to be overtaken by the communicating entity. And they said, "So what's your name?" And the drop-in said, "What the hell does it matter to you what my name is?" And they asked again, "What's your name?" And he gave, the communicator gave what is really sort of a transparently phony Icelandic name. It's like the Icelandic equivalent of John Smith. So they knew it wasn't a legitimate name. They said, "All right, so what do you want?" And he said, "I'm looking for my leg." They said, "Well, where's your leg?" And he said, "It's in the sea." And they kept trying to get more information out of this drop-in, and the drop-in kept refusing. He just kept giving this phony Icelandic name and saying he wanted his leg. And this went on for quite a while. And while all this was going on, Hafstein was behaving in very un-Hafstein-like ways. So he would keep demanding alcohol. And Hafstein maybe had one or two glasses of wine a year, but never drank. And Hafstein would also go through the motions of using snuff, which he never did in his regular life. Now, it turns out that the communicator was a heavy drinker, so the demand for alcohol turns out to be interesting. So anyway, the drop-in refused to give any detailed information, and this would happen at seance after seance after seance for quite a while. Every time the communicator refused to give his real name and so on, just asking for his leg. And then the seance group moved to a new house in Reykjavik with some change in personnel. Some new people joined the group. And the drop-in appeared at the first seance. And to everybody's surprise, he said he was very pleased to see one of the new members, a guy named Ludvig Gudmundsson. And the reason he said he was pleased to see Ludvig was because he now said the leg was in Ludvig's house in a town called Sandjerde. Of course, this came as news to Ludvig. And the drop-in said he wanted Ludvig to help find his leg. And Ludvig and the others said, "All right, we'll help you if you give us some more information about yourself." But again, the communicator refused to do that. And they finally gave him an ultimatum because he was just getting to be a real pain. And they said, "Look, either tell us some details about yourself or leave us alone. If you give us details, we'll help you find your leg." So then the communicator disappeared for about 6 months, as if to think it over, and came back later and told a story about himself. And here's the story he told. He said his name was Runolfur Runolfsson, a.k.a. Runki. He said he had lived about 80 years previously. He was a farmer. He had a farm not far outside of Reykjavik. He said he was a heavy drinker, and he had been at a party one night drinking, and at one point he decided to walk home, and the people at the party were reluctant to let him go in his inebriated state, but he refused to have somebody serve as a designated walker, and apparently he was being sufficiently annoying so that they said, "All right, well, off you go." And Runki started to walk home, and he was walking along the coast, and it was a dark and stormy night. And at one point, he sat down for a rest on a rock and also for a drink from the flask that he had with him. And he fell asleep on the rock. This is the story he told. And he said the tide came in, washed his body out to sea where he drowned, and then washed his body back on shore where the dogs and ravens tore him to pieces. And he said his bones were recovered except for a leg bone, and he wanted help finding his leg bone. He said, "You can confirm all of this if you look in the church book in the town of Utskalar." So the folks at the seance figured this was interesting enough to follow up on.
Right.
They went to Utskalar. They found the church book where the minister had recorded some of the details of Runke's demise, which corresponded to Runke's story. They also located Runke's grandson, who confirmed that Runke was very tall. And then they found an unpublished manuscript by the minister in Utskalar, which contained some additional details about the case that were not in the church book in Utskalar. So there are a number of interesting and accurate details that Runke, the communicator, gave. His full name, the date of his death, and approximate age at the time of his death. He said he was tall. He mentioned that his dismembered body was found on shore and that it was raining that night and he'd been drinking prior to his death and all of that. So they confirmed all these details, but not from any one source. They needed at least these three sources, the two documents written by the minister and the testimony of Runke's grandson. So now Runke had done his part. He had given the details. So now it was up to Ludwig to find the leg. So Ludwig went back to the town of Sangerti, and he started asking around, and some of the older residents in Sangerti said, well, yeah, they remembered that a leg had been going around the town, and they weren't sure what had become of it. And then Ludwig found a carpenter who remembered placing a leg bone in the wall of his house, and he led Ludwig to the spot in the wall. They broke down the wall, and they found a femur that had belonged to a tall person. They were not able to confirm that it was actually Runke's because, although Runke was buried in Utskalar, the graves were unmarked and stacked on top of one another. And so there was no way to be sure which pile of bones was actually that of Runke. But still, it was interesting that they found a femur that was the femur of a tall person.
I would guess it probably was his.
Probably so. So now, what was Ludwig to do about this? He kept the femur for about a year and eventually built a little coffin for it. And then they had a funeral service for the femur. And it was apparently a very nice affair. The minister eulogized Runke, the choir sang, and they served tea and cakes and, you know, the whole bit. And then there was another seance back in Reykjavik where Runke dropped in and said he had attended, so to speak, the funeral service, and he was very happy about the way everything had been disposed of. And then he mellowed out. He had been previously an annoying drop-in, and then he became a helpful communicator, a control personality who was sort of a master of ceremonies for other communicators coming through Hafstein.